You're listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity on your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn. So do you ever record a podcast episode that you feel is just amazing? And when you go to listen to the playback, you realize that your microphone wasn't on, so you completely did not capture the 20 minutes of magic that just transpired. That's the kind of day I'm having, guys. So I'm hoping I can recreate what I just put down. It was awesome. At least I thought it was. But it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to see the light of day. And so I am starting back from scratch. So I earlier this week had coffee with a colleague whom I've known in the comm space, the communication space, the DC PR space for a few years. And we haven't really kept in touch in terms of like seeing each other out at networking events, but we're connected on social. So we stay abreast of one another's goings ons, I think, to the degree that we know, you know, where we're working, what we're doing, and what's happening. So anyway, she reached out to me because, you know, I have the new book out and she wanted to get a copy of the book and just have coffee to catch up. And so we talked about like where she is with her career and kind of what's going on with her. And I thought that some of the things that she mentioned might be helpful to you. So I wanted to create a podcast about it. So basically, we were talking about this like idea of going from working solely for an employer and moving into a space where you have, you're generating income or revenue on your own from your brand, from your efforts, right? And so how do you even go about doing that? How did I go about doing it? How did I get started? And how did I overcome like the mental chatter to not do it and to not move forward? And so she was talking about just the motivation, like the pure economic motivation of wanting to earn more. And, you know, things had come up in her life and she ended up, you know, scaling back financially on certain things. And, you know, it's so funny because I just realized that that's something that never really occurs to me. Like when I encounter something new that I want to invest in or spend money on or have, especially if it's like necessary, right? So surgery for your child's heart, right? $10,000, right? Like I never think, oh my God, you know, maybe I should get a cheaper car so I can afford the surgery, or where can I scale back so that I can afford the surgery? I would think, well, how can I generate more income and revenue so that I can afford this? Like, what can I create? What can I write? What can I make? What can I sell that can close that financial gap? And so it brought to my attention that there's a very clear difference between people who respond to that kind of pressure by scaling back versus people who decide to ramp up, right? And like, you can either remove things to make room or just create more room, right? Create more resources, remove things to save money or just create more money. And I personally feel like all of us are born to create, like we are creative beings and we can all generate so much more than we even need, right? Like everyone who is walking the earth is likely existing below their full potential because there's so much that we have to give, to package, to offer, to sell, that we can't even scratch the surface of our own potential. Like we can't even keep up with ourselves. And so anyway, this idea of scaling back versus ramping up, removing versus creating, like which one are you? And that brought me to ask her, like, do you understand the opportunity of your brand? Like, do you really understand the opportunity that your brand has? Like, you should not want for anything if you really understand the opportunity that your brand creates for you to generate revenue, for you to, you know, not even generate more money, but generate more impact in the world. And I think if more of us truly understood that, we would, we'd be doing a lot more, and we'd be excited about getting up every day to see what we can go create and what we can go make happen. But it's funny because it's like most of us are right at that line of kind of understanding our power, but not believing it to the full extent that we're willing to act on it, which kind of brings me to my second point. You know, it was funny because she mentioned, you're doing all these things. You got a book, you got a box, you're doing workshops, you're here, you're there. Like, I'm just getting started. Like, where do I start? What? I'm intimidated here because it just seems like there's so much. And, you know, it just made me think about this idea of having so many things. Yes, I have multiple services that people can, you know, buy or inquire about. You can sign up to work with me in a group in my academy. You can sign up to work with me individually for the day. You can purchase the book. You can purchase the branding box if you want to have like a workbook exercise kind of class course experience. So yes, I have a lot of things, but I only have all of these things because I do think I have always understood the opportunity of my brand, or at least I've understood it for the last decade. So beyond understanding, though, I also believe, like, I believe that my ideas matter and that they can help people and that I should do something with them. And I feel like a lot of people have great ideas and have great information and have great skills and great things to offer the world, but they don't inherently believe that it matters, right? And I, for some reason, I've always had this strange idea that what I have to say and share matters. I remember writing poems and stories when I was in middle school and high school. And I don't know, like I I would write these poems and stories, and I would put them back when we had floppy disks, those 3x5 floppy disks. And I would save my poems and stories on the floppy disks. And like, those were my most prized possessions. I always would say, if, you know, this building catches on fire or this dorm room catches on fire, I'm leaving everything else, but I'm grabbing my floppy disks, right? And then later, once the whole cloud became a thing, I remember spending like 3 hours once transferring all of these files from my computer hard drive to Google Docs. So like all of the poems that I had collected and written in high school and undergrad that I thought were really good, I was like, I have to make sure these poems survive and they aren't, you know, they don't burn up in a fire. Or what if this computer dies and then all of my creative work, all my short stories and poems are on this computer and I can't retrieve them? Like, those poems and stories are still on my Google Drive. I haven't necessarily done anything with them, but for whatever reason, I always felt that what I had to say was important and that my creative work was valuable. It meant something to me. Now, whether or not it means anything to the world, hey, who knows? But it meant something to me. And I think that idea of feeling like your work matters and that your ideas matter, do I think that what I have to say matters to every single person or should be heard by every single person? No. But I do understand that they should be heard by more than just me, right? Like, they could potentially help people or give someone enjoyment beyond me at some point in life. And so for that very reason, I try to preserve my ideas. But going back to the conversation I was having with my friend, when I was thinking about, like, how do you go from being a person who has ideas for a book or ideas for a box or ideas for a service to someone who has consistently created these things over time. And so to the outside world, it looks like you are just extremely productive, creative, prolific, which you are, but you're not any more creative, productive, or prolific than other people could be if they simply believed, right? So, you know, the average person who may look at me and say, you have so many things, or even the people I look at and say, wow, she is so good, right? Like, she's always coming out with a new book. She keeps writing, like Valerie Burton. She's always got a new book out. And I'm like, wow, whew, that's the goal, right? Like, those are author goals. But ultimately, she believes that what she has to say is important, that people can find value in it, that these thoughts and ideas swirling around in her brain matter, and that she should package them and share them with other people. And so that's the first thing, right? So I have all these things because I believe, but number two, I quote unquote have all of these things, at least to the outside world, because I am willing to act and implement and execute. Now, as you have heard, as I've shared the journey with the book, sometimes it takes me a while. So I had the idea for my book a good 4 years before it saw the light of day. The actual book saw the light of day because I kept going back and forth about whether or not I wanted to write it, whether or not it was still timely, whether or not I wanted to share so much goodness, because it's a really, it's pretty power packed. And so one fear, I will be honest, was, well, if they get this book and read this book, then they won't have to hire me. So why would I put all of my, you know, tips in this book? But ultimately, I've come to realize that, like, you know, even some people have gotten the book and still joined the academy or signed up to work with me one-on-one. So whatever, like, if that's a concern for you and you're wondering, should I write my book? Am I just going to be giving away my secret sauce? Just write the book. So anyway, I believe, I act and implement and execute on my ideas, even if it takes me a while, like, they get done eventually. But number three, I have so many things because I'm pretty consistent about doing things over time. So, you know, if I have an idea, number one, I'm believing that it's good and that people need it. And I kind of, you know, sometimes it takes me longer than other times to force myself to get into action and execution mode and make it happen. But, you know, if you have a good 2 ideas a year and you get them out after a few years, that's like 5 or 6 good projects under your belt, right? So over time, it adds up and it looks like you're just doing a lot of stuff. But really what it is you've continued to keep moving over the year. So it's not something that's happening all at once, but you kind of get credit for it when people look at you and they see you've got this body of work because you've been believing, you've been acting, and it's adding up over time. So now, yeah, you know, if you look at where I've been and what I've done, you see, okay, you've got this book, you've got this box, you've got this strategy days, you've got the academy, you got the clients, you're writing, you've got content out here. But that's only because every day I try to make the decision to believe in the ideas that I have, and I try to make room and space to implement and execute, not just for my clients, but for me, for myself. And that's hard, especially in marketing, because you're doing so much legwork for other people. When you do have those creative notions for yourself, you can feel guilty about spending time on yourself when people are paying you to do that for them, and you have to find the balance. But for me, it's been super important to find that balance and to not leave my stuff on the sidelines, not just from a branding perspective, but also just from like a personal creative perspective. If I don't create, I get cranky, it bothers me. And so it's just important for my sanity. For you to understand, truly understand the opportunity of your brand, remember, number one, you need to believe. Number two, you need to act and implement. And number three, You just need to let it all add up over time. If you do those first two things for long enough, you will have a body of work, and you know that's how it will appear to the world. One other thing that came up in our conversation was this idea of like career or business or any kind of economic trauma and how it can shape you and how you move, right? Like, I didn't realize how fortunate it was, but it really was fortunate for me that when I had Logan, my first baby, I also was laid off and my husband was laid off all at the same time. So we're this new family. I'm a new mom. I've got a new baby. And I came smack dab face to face with the realization that another company was not going to take care of me. Right. So this company that I've been, you know, depending on to send me this paycheck every 2 weeks is now basically saying I don't have it. Right. And I got to figure it out because I can't tell my 3 week old baby I don't have it. Right. I can't. He doesn't understand that. He's not trying to hear that I can't buy the formula or the Pampers. And so for me, that whole like perfect storm of events coupled with the whole mother instinct, it just pushed me into overdrive and it just made me realize that I could either retreat and, you know, throw up my hands and feel like a victim, or I could realize that it was all on me to make things happen for myself and to really make the life that I saw for myself and make the money that I saw myself earning and being capable of earning and serving and all of these things. And so for me, I think a lot of people, or rather for a lot of people, I think that realization comes a lot later in life. But for me, I was in my mid-20s, very early in my career. You could say those were formative career years. So I'm really laying the groundwork of my mentality and my approach to career and business and just how money is earned and who I am and my value and my worth. And I think, you know, in hindsight, I was very fortunate. Like, I'm so grateful to have learned that lesson early, because so early in my career, I learned, you know, job security does not exist. It's gone. Like, don't look at some company and assume that they can take care of you, because ultimately, if they come to an inflection point where you are costing more than you're earning, they need to save their profitability, so you have to go. And I totally understand that, because I would do the same thing, right? So they're going to be loyal to their profitability, not to you. And if things go a certain way and profitability goes down and you become an expenditure that they cannot afford, the smart thing is to remove you. And so if that's the case, then the only person you can really count on is yourself. And so I think I learned that lesson early, and it just really informed how I moved. But also understanding, like, so many people are afraid to step out there and start consulting or start doing anything either on the side, even if it's just like, okay, let me make an extra $1,000 a month. They don't understand the value that they are bringing to the table. But the thing is, if you have a job that's paying you 5, 10, 20K a month, you have to be worth at least 10 to 20 times that for them to even give you the role that you have, right? And so once you understand that, like, it's business. Business is not emotional. It's all about, do the numbers add up? I'm going to pay you this 100K a year because your work helps me make a million. Or I'm going to pay you this 500K a year because, you know, your work is adding billions to my bottom line. So once you understand as an employee that you are an investment and that you are creating returns for your investor, your employer, then that, I think, makes it easier for you to understand how much street value you actually have and what you can command in the marketplace. So never think that that you can't demand some additional revenue outside of your full-time job. The opportunity of your brand is that you can create whatever it is that you want. So I'm so glad and so grateful that I learned that lesson early and that I never looked back. I want to share a recent review from Amazon. So thank you for all of you guys who have purchased Package Your Genius, 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand. And thank you for all of you who have reviewed the book. I want to read this review from Adama Conte, and forgive me if I am not pronouncing your name correctly, but Adama writes, 5 stars. Thank you, Amanda, for helping me identify my zone of genius. I have been doing a lot of deep work on how to build my brand, describe what I do, and make clear how I help my coaching clients. Amanda's chapter on compiling case studies as receipts helped me to see the common thread between my past clients so I can more clearly articulate my offer to prospective clients. I feel so much less nervous about attending networking events now. Thank you, Amanda. And thank you, Adama, for writing that review. Thank you for getting the book and reading it, number one. But thank you for taking the time to share your insights and how that the book helped you and share how the book helped you. I really appreciate that. It matters so much for creators to get that feedback and to know that, you know, as we send our creations, our art, our words into the void, someone's on the other side receiving value from that, and it just helps fuel us to create even more. So I thank you. We are opening new spots for a new cohort of Package Your Genius Academy. Oh my God, I'm so excited. This cohort has been amazing. We've had some amazing results and traction. This week we've been doing one-on-one sessions, so I'm meeting individually with every student. And this week we really worked on improving LinkedIn profiles. So literally people are like leaving the sessions with completely revamped LinkedIn profiles, which I think is just amazing, right? So if you are curious and interested in what we're doing and potentially joining our cohort, the application to the program can be found at packageyourgeniusacademy.com. I welcome you to apply. Again, that is packageyourgeniusacademy.com. And in the meantime, if you have not gotten Package Your Genius 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand, it's available on Amazon. One last announcement, I'm working on finalizing the companion workbook for Package Your Genius 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand. So I will let you know as soon as that's available for purchase, but just know it's on the way, and I hope you're having an awesome week. I'll talk to you again here soon.